Well, Ian Ozan, thank you so much for your hard work this morning, bringing everybody the news, sports, and all the information they needed. I know you are fixing to head on out and make your holiday weekend travels, so enjoy your time by the pool. Happy 4th of July to you as we celebrate 249 years of American independence. Go, America. Doesn't look a day over 200. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker, and it's Friday. It's 9 o'clock, and well, that must mean only one thing here on WWL, that Ian McNulty is joining us live. Hey, Ian.
Hello, Dave. Great to be with you. Happy Independence Day, too.
I'm sorry, you broke up there. What was the last part?
I just said happy Independence Day.
Well, and happy 4th of July to you. I'm glad that even though it's a holiday, you are joining us on a Friday morning because holidays are very important to eating and drinking for folks in New Orleans, aren't they?
The appetite never sleeps. You know, the appetite does not take a holiday. That's for dang sure.
What you been eating lately?
Well, I've had a very varied bag of stuff been covering, and I have some good news to report, actually. Let's kick off with that. Late last year, there was some bad news regarding kind of what I consider kind of a low-key legend for New Orleans restaurants, and it was Anita's Grill. Excuse me, correct that, Dave. The world famous.
Yeah, I was going to say Anita's world Grill. Famous. Yes.
Yeah.
And they say so it must be true.
Exactly. Exactly. Much like my friends at the world famous Corporation Bar in downtown with those great burgers. the pizzeria. To say best pizza in town, somebody must be right, you know. But certainly, Dave, in the world of New Orleans, Anita's was famous. It was on Tulane Avenue for better than 60 years, and you know it was part of this era when Tulane Avenue had Dixie Brewery was still blowing and going there. Well, that's just a relic now. And then there was Nick's Big Train Bar on Tulane. That's just faded memories now, muddled memories now, that great place. But then there was Anita's, and it was a place for sort of no-nonsense but warm hospitality and short-order cooking with New Orleans soul, you know. Liver and onions, liver and grits, grilled
pork chops, yes.
Red beans on Monday, and that means, of course, on Friday, fried fish, that kind of a place. Swivel stools, you know, facing the griddle counter, just a slice of Americana filtered through New Orleans soul cooking, right? In a pretty dark and dingy part of town, frankly, you know. And it was a bright spot. It was an all night place, and thus earned its place in the legend and lore of late night eats in New Orleans. Well, it closed last fall, very sadly. It just seemed like the end. You know, the owner was in his 80s. He retired. The property that they didn't own was sold from beneath them, kind of absorbed by the LSU hospital complex nearby, and then the building swiftly demolished, and that seemed like the end of the line. Except it's not.
But wait, there's more.
The next generation of the family felt this upswell of goodwill and support from people around town. It was all over social media, of course. Yeah, but even the great TikTok Cafe in Metairie, one of the last 24-hour joints around, put up on their sign, their letterboard sign facing the highway, you know, hey, we feel your pain, Anita's, we need you back. I mean, all this stuff kind of got to them. And so the son of the previous owner, he's a firefighter in Slidell, he decided, you know what, maybe we can do this again. You know, let's give Anita's another go. And so, long story short, they have reopened Anita's today. Today is their opening day, not in the same location, but downtown in a new spot. On Howard Avenue, right by Howard Circle, what we used to call Lee Circle, right by the Noki Culinary Institute, just off the highway, and kind of between neighborhoods. There's a good spot for a place like this. You know, it's between downtown, the Warehouse District, the routes traveling uptown into the Garden District, Lower Garden District, Central City, right around there. And I'm so happy to report this, Dave, because, you know, so often when a place of institutional status like that closes, there's really nothing coming to take its place. There's other places to eat, but there's no place just like that, you know, with that sense of you know, the history, the flavor, and frankly, just value cooking, just good old-fashioned, no-nonsense, greasy spoon kind of cooking. But that's not a chain. It's not a Waffle House, but it is a New Orleans spot. And they hired back some of the staff, so it'd be familiar faces. It's a, you know, it's a new location, it's a new feel, and it's not 24 hours to start anyway. But they're starting with a breakfast and lunch. I think 6 to 2 is the schedule. There's a story on NOLA.com right now with some of the details on it. And if you go to my Instagram, at Ian McNulty NOLA, you can see a few pictures on there of the new spot. And as soon as we're done with this interview, I'm heading over there for my first of breakfast. That's new. And let's see if we can start some new fuzzy memories down the line.
Yeah, I know you food critics always tell us don't eat the first day, the first week, or maybe even the first month at a new restaurant. But this is an old restaurant coming back, so maybe the rules are a little different, huh?
Well, you know, that is solid advice if you can follow it, and frankly, I can't. I think the late, great Tom Fitzmaurice, he was the dean of New Orleans food writers for a long time. We lost him earlier this year. That was his kind of standing advice. Was, oh, don't go to a restaurant for the first 6 months. Well, I think even he mellowed on that as time went on. I mean, people, your audience, the people we're talking to, and just our friends, the people that we talk about restaurants with, they want to know much sooner than that what's up with a new restaurant. And frankly, I think for the restaurants, if people weren't showing up in droves in the first few weeks, months, that would be a problem, and they might not be around for that 6 month hit.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
I do think that's inspired. On that note, another new restaurant I just visited.
I'm going to pause you there because I want to continue. You said something that caught my attention before we jump on to your next topic. That there are the 24-hour diner, that the sit at the counter, spin on the stool diner. Is something that is not prolific anymore in our dining options. And then you mentioned Waffle House because we've seen a proliferation. When I moved to Greater New Orleans 28 years ago, there were no Waffle Houses anywhere in the immediate metro area. You had to drive to Slidell or I think St. Rose, and maybe even the St. Rose one wasn't there, to find a Waffle House. Now they're everywhere. They're in the city, they're in the suburbs, they're all over. And that's kind of also when we've seen fewer and fewer of these locally owned standalone diners. And I was just trying to think, how many of these diners are left? You mentioned Anita's, you mentioned TikTok. Camellia's still up and running, right?
Yeah, Camellia's the classic. I mean, that griddle, if they ever have to close, that belongs in the Smithsonian. You know, I mean, that place is an American New Orleans classic. But, no, you're absolutely right. The
Dots the Diner, are there any Dots Diners left?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
But for seven, not necessarily. So, yes, Dots Diners do dot the territory. Joe's Donuts. It's not just a donut shop. It's also a diner, cafe. Over in Marrero, you've got Coffee And. It's Coffee Ampersand. Also a donut shop with Swivel Stool, New Orleans Soul Cooking, 24 hours, crowded parking lot, that kind of thing. In New Orleans itself, the ranks have thinned, my friend. St. Charles Avenue used to be replete with them, and not coincidentally, because it's this route that people would take from downtown back up into the uptown neighborhoods. You had St. Charles Tavern. Well, that closed in the pandemic. It's now actually a fantastic Peruvian restaurant called Tito's, but a very different kettle of fish. Then you had the Streetcar Cafe right up the street, which it was closed, demolished, and now that site's being redeveloped as a boutique hotel. So it goes. I mean, even Camellia Grill is not open 24 hours anymore. Café Du Monde and Morning Call are not open 24 hours.
Ruby Slipper still has a few locations, but they're all closing at 2 o'clock today. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So what happened to the 24-hour diner? Yeah.
Now, Ruby Slipper was never a 24-hour diner. I'll point that out. That's definitely a brunch concept. They're hitting that sweet spot of, mid-morning to early afternoon for the,
okay.
I mean, that is the Bloody Mary crowd more than the bottomless cup of joe. but your point is well taken. And actually, earlier in the year, around Mardi Gras time, I did a pretty comprehensive story for NOLA.com looking at why all this is happening and why it might be inching back. And frankly, COVID had a lot to do with it. It was the pause, alt, delete, reset of the restaurant scene. A lot of places that were 24 hours struggled to come back. People's habits changed. The timelines that people ate out of changed. And it kind of rippled through the entire ability to be open 24 hours in the city. And, you know, there's a number of factors that go into it, and including public safety. You know, people were just uncomfortable keeping their places open in the wee hours when nobody was about. But that's starting to change, and places are inching back to it. Buffa's on Esplanade Avenue is a great example of that. It's a music club, it's a bar, it's a neighborhood joint right between the French Quarter and the Marigny. They came back with 24-hour service. And there's a great place on Canal Street. If you're ever down on Canal Street downtown late at night, early in the morning, what have you, it's called Cleo's, Mediterranean place for, you know, shawarma, falafel, but actually like salads and healthy Mediterranean cooking, open almost 24 hours. I believe they're open about 22 hours over there. starting to come back. Anita's is a good spotlight on it, though. The return of Anita's, you know, they're coming back with limited hours, but the family there say they plan to extend them, and their hope is to make it the 24-hour institution that it once was. And, you know, you say that, a 24-hour diner, it was a spot where people would roll in after a long night at the town and soak up all the alcohol and grits and eggs. Sure, yeah, definitely a part of it. But these places that are open 24 hours, what they also serve are people who work late, who are coming off of shifts at 3 or 4 o'clock, and that's their 5 p.m. It's first responders. You know, you go into these places, gosh, you go into St. Charles Tavern back in the day, and it was a Crayola crayon box of differently colored scrubs from the hospital, different specialties, and cops, and ambulance drivers, and musicians. You know, people playing late, gigging, and going out for a couple drinks and deciding to have dinner. I mean, the 4 in the morning at some of these 24-hour places is for the nighttime economy, for the night people, what 6:30 happy hour is for people who get off work at 5:30, you know.
Glad it's coming back. Folks are texting us. One person says Gerald's Donuts and Chalmette. Somebody else says and there's also one in Araby, apparently. And somebody else says Big Easy Diner in Slidell is very popular. So there are still some diners out there.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and before we go to a break or anything, I just want to bring this up, Dave. Tommy and I talked last week. I paid close attention to the questions that we get from our audience, even if I'm not always able to answer them on the spot. But a listener last week was asking about a lamb dish that Tommy and I had been talking about the week before. So, you know, knowing that Tommy and hopefully I have a loyal audience here at WWL, maybe this person is listening again, and I finally divined what they were asking about. This was a magnificent lamb dish at a really fun modern restaurant in Mid-City called Smoke and Honey. It's a Greek restaurant that's a cafe during the day, very casual, you know, order at the counter, sandwiches, salads, coffee, that kind of thing. But at night, it turns into a Greek taverna, and it's fabulous. And it's young and stylish and good energy and creativity in the kitchen. But they do a 15-hour lamb that is a phenomenal dish served over in silky, velvety orzo. And the lamb is shredded, and they kind of pack it back together into a steak-like shape that's griddled crisp, but it pulls apart into strands on your fork like pulled pork. You get that with one of their Creole tomato martinis, which is just as fresh as plucking something from the garden and then running gin through it. That's a terrific dinner right there. So that's Smoke and Honey in Mid-City on Bienville Street, just off of Norman Francis. It's a great place.
All right, Smoke and Honey. So I hope that the listener who now for 2 weeks has been seeking this information has it and can go enjoy that. We're going to enjoy some more time with Ian coming up after this. If you've got a question on this 4th of July for dining or drinking for Ian, let us know. Text me, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and we'll get Mr. McNulty to answer it for you coming up after this on WWL. Happy Independence Day. We're talking with Ian McNulty about eating on this 4th of July as he joins Tommy nearly every Friday to talk about eating and drinking around the region. Writes for NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, the Advocate, and is a wealth of information. One question before we get back to the agenda that you came in hand with, Ian McNulty. Folks who are going to the Go Forth on the River, where are some great spots, someone wants to know, either in Algiers or in downtown New Orleans, where they can dine and see the fireworks over the river? The only place that immediately came to mind for me is one year we watched from the balcony at the Crescent City Brew House and had a great time. Where else can folks watch the fireworks and have a great meal?
Yeah, well, that's a good call on Crescent City Brew House. But that's also a very difficult question because of the specific geography that keeps the river out of our restaurants. There's really very few where you're getting to be sat there and you know, from your table or from your bar stool watching the fireworks. The better play, I think, is to do one than the other, right? To go have a meal, have some drinks, and then make your way out to get a better vantage on the fireworks.
Where should they eat first, either side of the river before going to see the fireworks?
There is a front row seat restaurant now to the river, and that's Chemin El Amar. That's my brutal French pronunciation of a gorgeous restaurant inside the Four Seasons Hotel. It's a Donald Link restaurant. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's all about steak, but also oysters, a bit of French, but it's not your standard French bistro. It's really, really a pretty spot with a cool bar, a cool oyster bar, and the whole dining room is glassed in to be basically the overlook of the Mississippi River. It's actually a magnificent spot if you appreciate the river in general, because you can just where it is positioned, it's right where the river turns, and you know, you're just watching these ships come up and down, navigating that crescent. Just gorgeous. That would be first ballot pick for
absolutely,
a restaurant.
Yeah.
Sitting inside in the air conditioning and watching the fireworks. So don't delay if that one
might need a reservation for that tonight. But yes, okay.
absolutely. But the listener mentioned Algiers, and I'm glad they did, because there's a lot popping off in Algiers Point right now in the restaurant scene. Right across from the ferry landing, the first thing you're going to see is the Dry Dock Cafe that's been there forever. Good little neighborhood joint for casual eats. Right next to it is Nighthawk, which is making some very fine pizza, the Neapolitan style that comes out of the wood-burning oven. Also, good cocktails, sort of no-nonsense, martinis, Negronis, that kind of thing. And next to that, not a restaurant, but a really cool bar, they're kind of making an outing of it, a new place called Rice Vice. It's tiny. It's about the size of a galley kitchen, and it's a Japanese-inspired bar for sake and also beer and cocktails and spirits. Really cool kind of speakeasy niche of a feel to it right there. If you go further down the levee, I mean, this is practically on the levee, just across from it, a terrific Caribbean restaurant called 14 Parishes. There's also one on Oak Street, same people. Chef Charles is fantastic. Great jerk chicken, fish, really nice, fun rum-based cocktails, of course. 14 Parishes. It's right on Patterson Street, and it's right across the levee. I mean, you can leave your table and run up the levee side and check out the fireworks from there. And then one more. This isn't in Algiers, but a little further up the river in Gretna. There's a location of the River Shack, Gretna, that actually has a rooftop bar. And you can look over, or at least seating on the rooftop, you can look over the river back towards the city and see the fireworks from there. So that's kind of like your West Bank options. But if you really want to do it up, I wouldn't wait another second. I would see if Chemin El Amar at the Four Seasons has any openings, because that would be box seats. That's the opera seating for the fireworks tonight.
No questions. This man cannot answer. Thank you, Ian McNulty, for that. You came in hand with some other things you wanted to discuss. What's next on your list?
Oh, you know, I've just wanted to quickly touch on a few things that show kind of the depth and beauty of our restaurant scene right now. For instance, a new place in Metairie I wrote about recently called Tuk Tuk Thai. That's Tuk, T-U-K, T-U-K. It refers to little tuk, 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 tuk motor scooter taxis that take people around the streets of Bangkok. This place has been open about 2 years, and Dave, shame on me. It took me about 2 years to get there, because I kind of scanned the menu and it didn't, nothing really jumped out at me. Well, I should have gone deeper. And when I finally got over there, I took a look at the actual menu. You don't always see everything online. You know, flip to the back, past all the, you know, noodles and rice, add protein of your choice kind of combinations. And I found the chef's specialties. And then I realized I had been in the chef's hands before. She and her family used to run a restaurant called Mai Tai in Marrero, and then later another one called Lotus Cafe, also on the West Bank. And I lost touch with them. Well, they're back at Tuk Tuk Thai, and oh my gosh, the specials are where it is at. Pork belly, just perfectly crisp and crunchy. They'll mix that with just some bitter green kale. They'll make a platter of it with roasted pork. There's noodle dishes. You can't go wrong on the specialties. Mussels, a special kind of calamari they do, and stuffed chicken wings. I know people out there will remember Nola, Emeril Lagasse's restaurant in the French Quarter. We lost it during COVID, but one of the specials at Nola forever were stuffed chicken wings. It was a Vietnamese-style dish. Well, I haven't found anything like it since, until I went to Tuk Tuk Thai, and they usually have it on the specials board. It's a little different, but it's the same idea. Chicken wings split open, stuffed with ground pork, rice noodles, herbs. It just hit the spot that I haven't been able to scratch since Nola closed. So I was really glad to find the place. It's in a tiny strip mall. It's a tiny, tiny restaurant itself, right over between Dorniak's and Martin's in that vicinity of Metairie.
All right, on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, coming across the river now to the East Bank, Tuk Tuk Thai. You've got my taste buds dancing now, wanting to try that one out.
Yes, indeed. And another thing we've been doing, and I'll keep talking about this over the summer as we proceed, but the two-course happy hour. It's been a fun way to engage with restaurants and save a little money. It takes a little planning. You got to start a little earlier. But, hey, look, it's a holiday. It's a weekday. Many of these happy hour deals are in play on the weekdays, and maybe a little harder to get to if you're out of work at 5. But if you're off today, could be a possibility. One of them that we discussed earlier that I'll just put back on the radar, Ralph's in the Park, that great Ralph Brennan restaurant by City Park in Mid-City. They're doing this deal. It's three apps and a glass of wine for $38, and it was fantastic. And a star dish of the summer emerged from this menu unexpectedly, the corn soup. Just didn't sound like I wanted a corn soup on a hot day. But it arrives in a cappuccino cup with a truffle foam over this velvety, elegant, delicate corn soup, and it's just a taste of summer, and I can't get it off my mind that I've had it three times over the course of 10 days.
Wow. Yeah. Three times in 10 days. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, one of those outings was at a food festival, Nalfi, the New Orleans Wine and Food Experience, where we were encountered at a tasting. But then return to the restaurant specifically for that dish, too. And if you go during happy hour, great deals at the bar. That's a one-off. The idea of the two-course happy hour is simply you start at one restaurant for a happy hour, and then you zoom over to another to get a different taste of their happy hour. And a great first go of that was downtown at a new oyster bar called Maria's. It's where Tommy's Wine Bar used to be back in the day. Same big bar, cool scene inside, good deals on oysters, wine, cocktails. You hit that first, you get a couple of oysters under your belt and a glass of crisp white wine. Maybe some of their smoked tuna dip with big chunks of tuna because they're using the same tuna that they're serving on the entree menu. And then you head swiftly one block down the street, just past Emeril's, to the other end of the block on Chapultepec Street downtown, and you go to La Boca, the Argentinian steakhouse. And if you can sit at the bar, they only offer this at the bar, I think until 7 o'clock, a very generous menu of specialties from the kitchen, basically all the things I love to order at La Boca besides steak are on this menu. And I think they're like $8 to $10 a plate, maybe just $8. And very generous portions. These are the same portions they're serving on the appetizer menu. The provoletta, which is this melted cheese that you can spread on crostini, the Argentinian chorizo sausage, the empanada meat pies, and then good deals on the wine and, again, the cocktails. And so you put those two together, and you have a very full dining experience. It's fun. You beat the clock. You save some money. And you kind of make it an adventure out of summertime dining. That's what it's all about this time of year.
And that's within walking distance of the WWL studios, so you've given me something to think about there. Folks, if you have a question, Ian's got a little more time with us. He's got plenty more to share, but if there's something specific you want to hear from Ian McNulty, tap into this resource. It's a vast and wonderful one. 504-260-1870. Text us now or call us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870 on this 4th of July, and get Ian McNulty to answer your questions. Where are you going next?
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up is a story I just posted. It's a food story with a love story embedded in it, and it's all wrapped up in a Louisiana fishing story. So I want to just tease it here because I really do want people to read it. It's all about me discovering the joy of offshore fishing, deep sea charter fishing out of Venice, Louisiana, and I promise there's a restaurant angle here coming. And I started going out with some friends who are experienced offshore fishermen. And I am a complete newbie. I'm just all thumbs and tangled lines. I got no fish game whatsoever. I don't even have those. I mean, Don Dubuque would throw me overboard. No, he wouldn't. He would show me around. But but very kindly took me under their wing. We started going fishing together. We ship out with Paradise Outfitters, which is this fantastic charter group out of Venice. And we go after tuna and swordfish, like, way offshore. I mean, I'm such a noob. I'm like so blown away by all the details of this. You're 60 miles offshore, floating near the rigs, reeling in these tuna and swordfish. And you know what I'm thinking, Dave? The only thing I'm thinking is crudo. These are not trophy fish for my den. These are not my pose with, although I do pose with them. It is crudo that I'm going to slice this fish and eat it raw and dress it with a little olive oil and sea salt and maybe a little garlic chili crisp.
Right there on the boat.
this raw fish, you know, collected from the wild, very hunter-gatherer style, has become a love language for me back home with my partner. And so that's the love story embedded in it. Please go read the story on NOLA.com. It's a lot of fun to write, and I know people got a kick out of it. But the food angle is this. If my timing is right, coming back from Venice the next day, often we'll go out all day, come home, you know, after a day on the water, kind of exhausted, just, you know, stay in Venice at the lodging overnight. Get up the crack of dawn when boats are headed back out the next day. I'm back in New Orleans, back at work, back at my computer by, you know, the normal morning time. But if that all works out, I'm driving back up from Venice on Highway 23. I get to Belchase, and I see the smoke billowing out of LA 23 barbecue, some of the finest barbecue around. Your location for those of us who don't live in Belchase, but definitely worth destination dining. And when passing by it early in the morning, have to stop in for one of those brisket tacos or brisket burritos, maybe get a couple more to bring back into the city and distribute to friends. So good. And it's on my mind, 4th of July weekend. I mean, this is a barbecue place that it's all red, white, and blue. Huge American flag painted on the side of it with the meat and wood smoke, scented smoke just pouring out. Right by a railroad track in the River Levee, right across the street from an air base. I mean, it doesn't get much more red, white, and blue than that for the 4th of July weekend. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that one out there because it's been on my mind because of the fishing story, because of the barbecue themes this weekend. And in fact, if you want a little sneak peek of what some of that brisket looks like, you can go to my Instagram at Ian McNulty NOLA, and I just put a post up with a bunch of fishing food, you know, good sandwiches for the boat, the muffalata from Central Grocery, the banh mi Vietnamese po' boys from Phu Bay or wherever you get your favorite banh mi. And then a little shout out to LA 23 Barbecue for making some of the best I've ever had.
Text message comes in, and that's a fascinating story, and I can't wait to read it. It says, can Ian tell us what to eat at Vaca in Metairie?
Oh, sure. This is a steakhouse, fairly new. It's in the old Peppermill location.
Ah, in Severn, yeah.
Yeah. This is Vaca, V-A-C-C-A, I think, you know, cow in Italian. Upscale steakhouse, see whatever cuts they're recommending that night. It's a classic steakhouse, but it's a little more than that. It's a New Orleans-style steakhouse, so there's also a bit of Creole Italian fused to it with a touch of seafood, too, of course, because New Orleans. But speaking of happy hours, they have some good deals going, too, so check out what they're offering, but they usually have a happy hour deal on the table, and certain nights of the week they're going to have special things like a burger and a cocktail for X dollars, or yeah, I think a dinner for two, steak dinner for two for a set amount. I want to say 150. Don't quote me on that. You got to be really particular when you quote prices for people on the air.
Yes, don't hold me to this. Do not go. Well, Ian McNulty said.
Right. Don't circle the tramp, printed out and kept in your vest pocket. You know.
All right. I hope that answers that question for our listener who wanted to know what to eat at Vaca in Metairie. I was talking to Chef Kev about this earlier. It came up. I'm normally on from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And the other day we had a conversation getting ready for the 4th of July about what are the most American foods. So I want to bring you in on this discussion. It started because we were wondering, how did hot dogs become the American food at one point in our nation's evolution? We came up with, well, they're served at ballparks and, you know, that's America's pastime. And then there was the whole hot dogs, baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet branding long ago that made it seem so American. But if I asked you, what is the most American food for folks on this 4th of July, what would you say?
Hot dogs is a great example, and the reason that we have them and the popular views to the American identity is because of our friends, the migrants, in this case, the Germans, who came here in great numbers, escaping hardship and war and political unrest. In Germany, a century plus ago, and came here with nothing and established themselves and built America into the mosaic of what it is with their culture and their hard work and their food. The Frankfurter from Frankfurt, from the sausage-loving, making peoples of Germany, who were migrants and became Americans, and the story should continue. I think the most American food is the thing you're going to have next that you haven't had yet, that the people who are contributing to our country and making it America and not just some monolithic thing are bringing to the table now. Go eat some Vietnamese food. Go to Tuk Tuk Thai and have some Thai food. Go find some Middle Eastern food. You'll be blown away by the diversity of flavors that people are bringing to the table right now. And if without people like that, the Germans of the 19th century, the Italians that quickly followed them, even the Irish, we would be eating bland. Well, I bring up the Irish. We'd be eating very, very bland food in America if not for the constant regeneration of our cuisine, thanks to people coming here to start new lives. So yeah, hey, go have hot dogs. Tip your hat to the FDR famously addressed a crowd, my fellow immigrants back in the day. If you're celebrating America, you're celebrating the story that brought so many different people here.
Yeah, that's a good point that we talk about the melting pot that is America metaphorically, but when you're talking about food, we're literally talking about melding, if not melting, so many different cultures and tastes and flavors and histories of food together to get what we have here now, which is such a vast array and an amazing cornucopia of options when it comes to dining, especially in a city like New Orleans.
I'll get off my soapbox and step up onto the Creole, gumbo pot and say that New Orleans is the best example of it, right? We are a cuisine unto ourselves, but our cuisine tells the story of people coming here from all over the world and developing a culture together. And that's what you get when you're tucking into, I don't know, let's say an Italian sausage po' boy made on bread that we call French bread, but is really similar to the breads they were baking in Germany, but is perhaps made by a bakery with an Italian last name affixed to it. I mean, it doesn't get much more or more USA than that. So go America, go diversity. Long may it be the rule of the land.
Amen, Ian McNulty. Thank you for taking some time out of your holiday to join us here on WWL. I know the listeners appreciate it, and we're getting adoration and texts on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line. One person simply says, Dave and Ian, I want to thank you guys for coming in early this morning and sharing with us, enjoying the conversation, and thank you for giving up part of your holiday. So, Ian, they appreciate it. It's worth your while. Read more from Ian McNulty in at NOLA.com or in the Times-Picayune, The Advocate, and we look forward to you talking to Tommy again next Friday. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
Thanks, everybody. Be safe, eat well, and cheers.
Cheers indeed. Happy Independence Day. He's Ian McNulty. I'm Dave Cohen. In for Tommy Tucker. Coming up next, we're going to get all the details for you on Go Forth on the River, the big celebration tonight on the mighty Mississippi here on WWL. Well, we had to break out the orchestra for Debbie Pressler, coordinator of Go Forth on the River, joining us live this morning on this Independence Day 2025. Happy 4th, Debbie.
Music. I love it.
It's just for you. We got the orchestra all together and told them you got to play for Debbie because
very sweet. Tell them thank you.
Yeah, without Debbie, we would not have fireworks on the Mississippi River for Go Forth on the River year after year after year. And as I understand it, for those of us who have been watching the display for decades, we're going to see some things this year we've never seen before.
That is so true. And, you know, we couldn't be doing this without WWL and Magic and so many sponsors and our little friend Helen. We all helped grow this, y'all especially, into an international event. But we are going to see some phenomenal new shells and special effects, over 5,000 shells, Dave. And
wow.
It's going to start off with a 17-story tall patriotic peacock tail fan. When I saw a picture of this in the proposal, I said, put us down for one of these. It is absolutely gorgeous. And our mouths were dropping because we haven't seen these kind of shells, the shell of shells. And of course, you know, so many of them are the big 10-foot shells that go 1,000 feet high, 1,000 feet wide, which is the width of the river. So we're doing things that's just beautiful. The sound reverberates off the buildings, the reflections on the water, on the river. It's going to be gorgeous. So grab your cameras when you come on down. It's going to be gorgeous.
All right. So when should people come down and where should they set up to see all these amazing new pyrotechnics that have never been flying over the Mississippi River before?
That's a good way to say that. 9 p.m. is the fireworks show. Come down early. You know, there's so many things to do, but there are also some unusual ways to watch it. Of course, it's a free show, thanks to our sponsors, Mayor's Office of Cultural Economy and the New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Fund and New Orleans and Company and the Berger and Tiller family. So we are so excited. 9 p.m., come down early, eat, drink, ride the riverboat. But this way you can get a bird's eye view from the Vue Orleans, a cool view at the pool party at the Hilton, and a dockside view on the City of New Orleans riverboat. Now, those would have, you know, you have to pay to get into those. You could ride the riverboat, the steamboat Natchez, the paddle wheeler Creole Queen for the dinner cruise, but it is free along the historic New Orleans riverfront from the east and west banks, from the French Market District all the way to the Hilton New Orleans riverside.
So,
we are just so excited about this.
Yeah, you really have several miles of mm-hmm. levees and banks to choose from on either side of the river where you can get an amazing view of the fireworks display. Again, starting at 9 o'clock tonight, Go Forth on the River. And, Debbie, folks can listen to the soundtrack of the fireworks as well.
That's right. They can go to WWL.com, and y'all have the links with the music. This is patriotic music that's been used to choreograph the show. Brandon Spear and the people from the new Pyromania Fireworks Company out of Benton, Louisiana. The music, to me, gives it so much more passion, too. But sometimes it's nice just to be there and to listen to it, look at it. But it's going to be a 14-minute show, which is one of the longest we've had in a long time. And again, we're not looking for long. We're looking for full. And this one's going to be chock full of over 5,000 shells and special effects. So come on down, 6:30 to 7 p.m. You can see the General Roy S. Kelly, the little beloved fireboat that comes out with its red, white, and blue plumes. It is gorgeous. And just come have dinner, stroll, shop, go to the museums. But come down for 9 p.m., both sides of the river, a free show, and we want to see everybody out there.
Debbie, thank you so much. This has been a partnership that we have loved year after year. This is my 28th year now here on WWL, and every year I'm amazed at what you're able to pull off and so glad that we're able to be a partner in it and a part of it. So, Debbie, thank you very much, and we'll be looking for you tonight at Go Forth on the River. Have a wonderful, happy, and safe Independence Day. Debbie Pressler here on WWL. Details and to download the music or listen to the soundtrack for the fireworks, go to WWL.com. We're back after this.